Good morning, Ascend Church. How are you? Good to see you. I'm a little hoarse this morning, so bear with me. Just lost my voice, so sing with me.
It was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. Till I met you.
Jesus, thank you. Sing along, guys. Join in. I'm very hoarse today. I apologize. So help me out. There's a space, every beating heart. There's a longing, reaches for the stars. There's an answer, every question mark. There's a name. There's a hope flowing through these veins. There's a voice that echoes through the pain. There's an ember ready for the flame. There's a name. Come on. 'Cause we will fix our eyes on the one who overcame. We will stand in awe of the one who breaks the chains. Love has a name. Love has a name. Jesus. Love has a name.
love has a name, Jesus.
There's a joy triumphs over fear. There's a laughter wipes away all tears. There's a presence ranges atmospheres. There's a name. We'll fix our eyes on the one who overcame. We will stand in awe of the one who breaks the chain.
Come on, let's sing it out together. Let's lift our voice.
We will stand in awe of the one who breaks the chain. Love has a name. Love has a name.
Come on, give the Lord praise today.
We will stand in awe of the one who breaks the chains.
Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. We praise you. We praise you today. We lift up the name of Jesus. How many of you know there's no name that can compare to the name of Jesus? There's no name that can compare. His name is above every other name. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We declare it today, Jesus, you are Lord in this place. You are Lord in this nation. You are Lord over our life. Can you say that today? Say, Jesus, you are the Lord. We give you all the praise. There's nobody like you. There's nobody like our God. Amen. He is worthy. He is mighty. He is awesome. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for your presence. Before we sing our final song called So Will I, this is the time where we want to pray. We want to pray for you. This is our prayer and praise time. You got any praise? Come on, come up here. You got any praise reports? Our prayer and our praise time. And do you know that thank God for the name of Jesus, because whatever it is that you are facing, I want you to know that it has to bow to the name of Jesus. And the Bible says, whatever you ask the Father, Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. If you're standing here this morning and you have maybe a situation in your life, something that you're facing, and you need the Lord's help, well, listen, you need to ask him today. You need to call upon him today. Because the Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It says you do not have what you need because you don't ask God. This is your opportunity right now to come before the Lord and ask him for the things you need. Because let me tell you, Jesus is in this place. He wants to meet every need. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the provider. He's the protector. He's the way maker. Whatever you're facing, he has a way. Amen.
Talking about a praise report, if you ever have a praise report, give it to me, because sometimes we keep it to ourselves. It really encourages other people's faith. You know, Brother Louis has had an ongoing miracle happening in his eyes. Everything that the doctor said would happen, it should ultimately just get worse, and it's getting better. But he had a setback this week. He could not see at all. And thank God today he read to me right off of that paper. And so that's a miracle. God's working in my eyes, no matter what happens.
Well, Louis was legally blind. Right. Is that true?
Yeah.
They took his driving license away. Correct? And I remember praying for you when we were back at the hotel. I remember praying for your eyes. And his eyes just kept getting better and better and better until they gave him his license back. He was driving again.
Praise God.
I mean, a miracle.
It is a miracle.
Because his eyesight was failing. And they said he was blind. Now it's getting better and better and better.
Yeah.
Right,
and
Louis?
And even when he had a setback, he still keeps believing God, and God keeps coming through and bringing it.
You know, I thank God for doctors. I thank God for the work that doctors do.
Right.
But let me tell you right now, when the doctor can't help you, Jesus can.
Yes, he can. Amen.
He can. Amen.
Yes, he
so
can.
I want to ask our prayer partners. These are people in our church that they know how to pray. I want them to come and stand at the front here if you need prayer. I want to ask, where's Mike? Where you at, Mike? Mike Francine, where you at? Let me tell you, I want you to come pray for people. Because Mike Francine has seen amazing miracles and healings take place all around the world.
Oh my gosh.
There's pictures of Mike standing on stage holding crutches with people healed who couldn't walk. People blind healed, deaf healed, right. Lame healed. In your meetings, right? God has anointed this man with an amazing healing ministry.
Right.
He's seen miracles take place all over the world. Am I right?
Right.
Mike, so I want you to help us pray. Where's the other prayer partners? Where you at? Come on. Come on forward.
Come on.
If you need healing, if you need whatever it is you need, whatever you need, I want you to come and let us pray. Jesus said, my house will be called the house of prayer.
Right.
You know why? Because when you pray, things happen.
Yes.
When you pray, God answers.
Always.
When you pray, miracles occur. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to pray. If you need prayer, just don't be shy. Maybe your first time here today. That's okay. Just come on down. We're going to pray. And we're going to sing this final song. It's called So Will I. If the birds sing praises to God, so will I. If creation sings praises to God, so will I. Jesus said, if we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out, I don't know about you, but I'm not letting a rock cry out in my place. I'm not letting a rock praise God for me. I'm going to lift my voice and I'm going to worship Him today. Come on, lift your hands and say, Lord, I come to worship You today. Say, Lord, I came to give You praise today. So will I.
failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandon the darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost you died to save. If you gave your life, so will I.
Hallelujah. 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 We worship you in this place, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Just stay in an attitude of worship. Stay in an attitude of worship. For just as I created this universe, says the Lord, I created it to bow its knee when my name is spoken. I created it to bow to the one who is the creator of all. And when I created you, says the Lord, I created you to worship my name. I created you to bow before me, to recognize what it is that I have done. And as creation bows in reverence before me, so the beauty of this earth is seen. And as you bow in reverence before me, says the Lord, as you offer up worship, the fruit of your lips giving thanks, so I'm able to do in your life. I'm able to cause you to bloom and to blossom just like I intended you to. As you offer yourself as a sacrifice of worship, so you are planted and you are able to grow up into everything that I've destined you to be. Until you bow your knee before me, you'll never become everything that the Creator intended. Because what I intend for you is so way beyond what your natural mind can conceive. For within you is the seeds of greatness. Within you is my life, says the Lord. My life is on the inside of you. And the only way that that will come out to fruition, that the only way the world will see what it is that I put inside you, is when you willingly bow your knee before me and declare me to be the Lord over everything. When you declare that in your life I am everything, in your life I am first, in your life I am the Most High, the Creator. When you declare that, Lord, you created me, you've put all the gifts and the talents within me, when you willingly bow your knee and say that before me, says the Lord, is when I'm able to lift you up. I'm able to lift you up, for I am the one who exalts. I am the one who promotes. I am the one who brings fruit and fruitfulness out of your lives. So today, let's willingly, family, let's willingly bow our knee, bow our heart before him. Just lift your hands in this place and say, Lord, everything I have comes from you. I bow in worship before you. You are my creator. You are my everything. You are my all in all. I worship you. Hallelujah. 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 That's it. That's what he wants. Family, that's what he wants. He wants our hearts. He wants us to acknowledge his greatness. He wants us to acknowledge that we recognize that he is the Most High God, the one true God, the one that they wanted to put idols up in the Old Testament, but the power of God caused those idols to fall. And we recognize that, that that's who we serve. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord, above all others, above all else.
Yes, we
thank you, Lord. Thank
praise
you, Lord.
You, Lord.
Praise God.
Magnify
family, it's worship that he wants. It's our worship that he wants. We worship
yes.
you, Lord. So will I.
Yes.
So will I.
Yes.
Hallelujah. What a sweet presence of the Lord in this place. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, welcome to Ascend Church this morning. We're so glad that you're here. Won't you just turn and greet somebody, shake their hand, give them a hug, tell them how good they look. God, well, you look good this morning. Look good. Welcome to those that are watching online, watching on Facebook Live, maybe today, maybe in the days to come. Those that are watching on our app, on our live stream, on our website, we're glad you've joined us. If you are on Facebook, Instagram, go ahead and share. Well, Facebook, share this on social media. It gives more people an opportunity to take part in the service and enjoy the word today. Thank you for doing that. Welcome to church this morning. I like to get up here because I get to see who's here. I like to see some faces I haven't seen for a little while, and we miss you when you're not here, but so glad that you are, and we want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time, because we always love having visitors, don't we? Yeah, do we? Yes, we do. Now, do we have anyone that's visiting us for the first time? We'd like to give you a gift. Visitor pack where you're sitting. Anyone here for the first time? God bless you. Welcome. Come on. Come on. You said you're happy when we have visitors. Make it sound like it. Anyone else, just wave your hand and the ushers will get a gift bag to you. We just put a couple of things in there, one being a teaching CD from Pastor Steve, and we put it in. He always preaches a very faith-building and encouraging message, so we hope you enjoy that. And then there's a card that says guest. Just take a moment and fill that out. At the end of the service, we'll pass an offering bucket, and you could just drop that in. It gives Pastor an opportunity to call you, find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that. You're glad to be in church? So who are the Super Bowl fans? Who's going to be? Come on. Look at that. Only Stephen out of everybody. Come on, don't lie. You're going to have a good Sunday evening, right? Looking forward to it. Praise God. Well, just a quick reminder what we're all about. First of all, the four main purposes of our church. First, we want to help you to know God. How many feel like you're beginning to know God a bit better than you did before? Amen. You know, even just in that worship time, you begin to know God a little bit more. You begin to remember how much he wants to be worshipped, right? We're constantly getting to know more about God. Second of all, to help us find freedom in every area of our life. You know, people walk in from all different walks of life. We come in with all kinds of baggage, and God wants us to find freedom in every area. Thirdly, to help us to make a difference. To discover your purpose. We've all got a purpose. And fourthly, to make a difference with your life. Amen. And that's what we're going at every week. Every week. It's layer upon layer. We don't walk into church. Some people go Easter and Christmas, right? How much do you expect to know God in that time? But each week, we're learning, we're growing, becoming more like him. Thank you, my darling. Here you are.
Praise God. Come on down. Well, is everyone doing well today? Great. I want to thank everyone who invited someone to come to church today. Remember, I find these little invite cards very helpful. I keep them with me. I have some in my car. I always try and have some with me because invariably we'll have an opportunity. The Lord will open a door some way and we'll invite someone to church. Happens all the time. And I give them one of these little cards. Also on the back, you're able to write on it. So if you want to write your name or your phone number when you invite someone, make sure you always got these cards on hand. We have them in the lobby. We have them on the counter. There's piles of them on the lobby. Just help yourself. The ushers have got them. If you need some of those invite cards, if you want some, raise your hand. They'll give you some right now. This week, I want to encourage you, hand out 5 of these cards. Invite 5 people to come to church with you next Sunday. Let's not go to heaven by ourselves. Let's take as many people as we can with us. What do you say? What do you say? Amen. Amen. I want to let you know that, praise God, we have a Spanish church that are going to be renting our upstairs room starting from today, this afternoon. Pastor Jill and I, man, I tell you what, we've been working. We worked this week. I'm talking about loading that room upstairs. We were using it for storage, and it was loaded full, jammed full of all kind of equipment and all kinds of stuff. I mean, we had 4 big storage units a little while back. We were storing all our stuff, and then we eventually condensed that down to 1 large unit, and we put that all in that upstairs room. And then the Spanish church approached me, and they were interested in renting this room from us. So we said, okay, we'll get it cleaned up. So Pastor Jill and I literally took everything out of that room and threw it out or put it in another place. The whole week, I mean, I needed a whole day just to recover. I was so tired. I mean, that is hard work. I said, I realize I'm not 28 anymore. I'm 55, and that was hard work. And I said, that's the last time. I'm not doing that ever again. That's it. I'm not doing that again. I hate moving furniture. So we're in it. Anyway, we got it done. The room's painted. And praise God, today, 3 o'clock, the Spanish church start having their services from today. And so, yeah, that's a blessing to them, and it's a blessing to us because it's helping us. Paying 20% of our mortgage, that's helping us, right? So praise the Lord. My goal is to rent this building out and pay our entire mortgage with rental, nothing with tithes and offerings, all with rentals. I'm trusting God that the Lord will bring someone every month that we can totally pay our mortgage by renting this. Because this building sits empty 90% of the time. Why not rent it out? Let it pay for itself, right? So if you want to go and take a look up there, you're welcome to. We've got new carpets coming in tomorrow just down the hallway upstairs. We're putting new carpets tomorrow, but it's all been painted and it's looking great. And it also gives us another room because that seats about 50 people. They've done it out real nice. And we can use it for leadership meetings or smaller meetings, or we can rent it out to someone else, because they're only using it on Sunday afternoon and on Thursday night Bible study. Other than that, it's available. So praise God. That's good news, right? And so wonderful, man. My son is over at VU Church. He's the worship leader at VU Church down in Miami. They have Kanye West today. They have the Sunday service with Kanye West down at the Bayfront Amphitheater. They shut all their services down, 11 o'clock. They sold the tickets out in 20 minutes. They were all gone, 20 minutes. The tickets were gone. And so anyway, Luke, guess what time they had to be at church this morning? Guess what time Luke had to get to church this morning? 4 a.m. They were at church at 4 a.m. this morning getting ready. They're expecting thousands of people. So they got the Super Bowl happening in Miami, and they got Super Sunday with Kanye West happening down on the... Isn't that awesome? God is on the move. God is moving, I'm telling you right now. Who would have ever thought it? Who would have ever thought Kanye West would be doing Sunday service in Miami with thousands of people preaching about Jesus? Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's almost like an Apostle Paul experience from Saul to Paul. Anyway, if you missed last Sunday, we had a great time with Dr. Keith Johnson last Sunday. He spoke about the secret power of 10. And if you were not here, I gave out a free book. If you'd like to get that book, we've got a few left. If you lift your hand, we'll give you a free book for free. Absolutely free. Just lift your hand up. Do it fast because we only got a certain amount. And we'll get one to you. I encourage you to read it. It's a great book. Also, a lot of people, I want to thank everybody last Sunday who filled out this Power of 10 tithing commitment. It was three questions. Either I'm committing to tithe at my local church for the first time, or I'm recommitting to tithe at my local church, or I'm continuing to commit to tithe at Ascend Church. And so either one of the three. And I want to thank everyone who filled out those cards. I want you to know I'm praying for you. For the next 90 days, every day, I'm praying for all of our givers and tithers. If you didn't fill out this card, I would like to ask you to please consider doing so, because it's a commitment to God, and it's also a commitment to your church to let you know I'm with you, I'm behind you. We're in this together. We're a team. So thank you for filling out that form and getting that book. Amen. Can you catch? There you go. How's that? Are you ready for God's word today? Ask your neighbor, are you ready? Tell him, get ready. We're about to hear God's word today. That's what I came here for. I came here to give God praise, and I came here to learn about the word of God. How about you? So won't you stand up with me one more time? We're going to pray, and one more time, stand up with me. There you go, Mike. You ready? From that side, not this side, that side. I got him working, man. What are you talking about? I get everybody working. It's one of my gifts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you are so good and you are so faithful. And we thank you, Lord, that you are here in our presence today. Jesus, it's all about you. We come to worship you. We come to meet with you. We come to hear from you. And Lord, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for anointing your word. Thank you for giving us revelation and understanding. Thank you for transforming us by your word and by your spirit. And we give you all the thanks and the praise for everything said and done. In Jesus' mighty name, if you agree, say amen. 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 You may sit down. God bless you. I want to speak today about first things first, something the Lord really has had on my heart really the whole month of January. And I know now today's the first Sunday of February. I meant to get this sermon in January. But anyway, we're close enough to it as we start out the beginning of this year. I want to speak about first things first, putting first things first. What it means, I'm talking about doing the most important things in life, being clear about what your priorities are and acting upon them. Because when you do the first things first, then everything else comes together. And so there's eight things I want to talk about. And number one, the first thing to do is, number one, is to keep God first. Keep God first. Do you know, does anyone know what the first commandment of the Ten Commandments is? Does anyone know the first of the Ten Commandments? It is, you shall have no other gods before me or beside me. Deuteronomy 5:7, you'll have no other gods before me or beside me. It's the first of the Ten Commandments. At first, I thought about making this point, put God first. But then I changed it, because how many times do we decide to put God first? But in case you haven't noticed, the world is full of things that try and distract us. I'm sure you've experienced this yourself. You make a decision, I'm going to get up every day and I'm going to pray and I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to do it every morning before I do anything else. And all of a sudden you look and it's nighttime and you don't know what happened, where the day went. Let me tell you, more than anything else, the enemy will fight you about keeping God first. In your time, in your finances, in so many different ways, the enemy will try and fight you. He doesn't want you to keep God first. And for some of us, it may require making some adjustments in our life, because some people are trying to fit God into their schedule, when really, we should work our schedule around God. Instead of trying to find a place to put God in your schedule, are you willing today to say, Lord, from now on, you first in my life. I don't care what else has to go. I don't care what else I have to change. I'm going to keep you first in every area of my life. Proverbs chapter 3 says this in verse 6. In everything you do, put God first. In everything you do, put God first. Say, in everything I do, I'm going to put God first. And then what will happen? And then he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. If you put God first in every area of your life, the Bible says he'll direct you and he'll crown your efforts with success. Let me tell you, being a Christian doesn't work out right if God is just a sideline in your life. You've got to learn how to do life with God. He doesn't want to just be part of your Sunday morning. He wants to be welcomed into your life all week long. He wants to be a vital part of everything you do every day. Millions of people believe in Jesus and even go to church on Sunday, but God is not first in their life. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, this is where the Ten Commandments. And it says, you shall have no other gods before me. Verse 3, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. It says, you shall not bow down to them and you shall not serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God. God is a jealous God. He's jealous of you. He wants you to put him first, because let me tell you, God puts you first. Do you know that God puts you first? Do you know that you are on God's mind? Do you know that every one of you is first in God's thoughts? You say, well, Pastor Steve, how can we all be first? Because God is God, and he can do that. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is all-knowing, is everywhere present, and you're on his mind all the time. In fact, the Bible says we can't even count the number of thoughts God has towards us. You can't even count them. In Psalm 139 in verse 17, it says, every single moment you are thinking of me. Think about that. Every moment God's thinking about me. How precious and how wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. God, your desires toward me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. They cannot be numbered. When I wake each morning, you're still thinking about me. When I go to sleep at night, God's thinking about me. When I wake up in the morning, God's still thinking about me. Every moment of my life, I'm on his mind. Think about how important you are to God. If you look at verse 16, just a couple of verses before, it says, you saw me before I was born, and you scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day of my life was recorded in your book, and every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Do you know that God has a plan that's written down in his book for every day and every moment of your life? He knew you and saw you when you're in your mother's womb. Before you even arrived on planet Earth, God had a plan for every single day of your life. Now, he's not going to force you to walk in it, but he would like you to walk in it. He would like to guide you and lead you through your life and be involved in everything that you do and in every decision that you make. That's what God would like. That's what Jesus died for you and me to have, not just to go to church once a week and hope we get to heaven when we die. But God has a plan and a purpose for every day and every moment of our life. And I want to encourage you to keep God first and don't forget him, because that's what's wrong in America right now. Is, you know, the United States of America was built upon biblical principles from the Bible. Our laws are all built upon the Word of God. I don't know if you know that. They took prayer out of schools and instead taught sex education. Look what how'd that work out. They want to take Ten Commandments. Remember, it was where they took the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom? Where was that, in Alabama or somewhere? Was it Alabama they did that? Listen, you can't remove God from a nation that was built on the Word of God and expect the nation to prosper and last and work. That's not going to happen. Israel did it over and over. When you read the Old Testament, one thing that stands out is over and over and over again, they forgot God. They went away from God. You know, God is gracious and God always received them back. But they do the same dumb thing again. And it's amazing to me that we read the Old Testament and I read about the children of Israel and I think, how could they be so dumb? But we do the same dumb things. Every time they went away from God, they have war, they have famine, and all kinds of problems come in their life. And then they'd call back on the Lord and he'd deliver them. God said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, he said, you shall remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Then it shall be that if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, you shall surely perish. And like the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Let me tell you, when we disobey God and when we forget God and when we go away from God, there's a price that we pay. But if we will follow God and go his way and remember him, he will protect us and bless us and provide for us and take care of us. You know, often we think of other gods as being in some kind of a false religion or bowing down to the to a statue, you know, bowing down to some kind of idol. But do you know you can turn anything in your life into a god? Anything that you make more important than God becomes an idol. Your job can be an idol. Your spouse can be an idol. Your child can be an idol. Your possessions can be an idol. Your money can be an idol. Anything that's more important than God is an idol. I'll just let that sit there for a little bit. In Romans 2, verse 22, the scripture says, you say, don't pray to idols. And then you make money your God instead. The Passion Bible says, you say, in the Passion Version, it says, you say, I hate idolatry and I hate false gods, but you withhold from the true God what is due to him. What's that talking about? Withholding from God what is due to him, what's that talking about? That's talking about refusing to tithe and honor God. Withholding from God what is due to him, that's making money an idol. Don't preach me down because I'm preaching good today, right, Tom? Can you say amen? Leviticus 27, verse 30 says this, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Now, the Bible says that the first tenth of everything I get belongs to God. Now, I don't have to give it to him. I can withhold it. But then it becomes an idol because it's more important to me than God is. That's why God told the Israelites in Malachi chapter 3, he said, should people cheat God? But you've cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When do we ever cheat you? You've cheated me out of the tithes and offerings due to me. You've cheated me out of what is due to me. You're under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes, say all. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. And if you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to receive it. Try it. Put me to the test. Let me tell you, tithing is one way that you show that God is first in your life. In Deuteronomy 14, verse 23, it says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. Can I tell you the most important part about tithing is that it's teaching you to put God first. That's the most important part about tithing. It's teaching you to keep God first. When God is first in your life, he's first in your finances. Let me tell you, your checkbook really reveals what's the most important thing in your life. Your checkbook, where you spend your money, that's what tells me what's the most important thing to you. Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be also. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So let's not forget God. Let's keep God first. One of the saddest scriptures in the Bible is Jeremiah 2, verse 32. It says, can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me, days without number. One of the saddest scriptures in the Bible. Just imagine being God, and all you have is love for these people that you sent your only son to die for, and now they don't even have time to say hi for days without number. The Living Bible says, how can you disown your God like that? Can a girl forget her jewels? What bride will seek to hide her wedding dress? Yet for years on end, my people have forgotten me, the most precious of their treasures. The New English translation says it like this. Does a young woman forget to put on her jewels? Does a bride forget to put on her bridal attire? But my people have forgotten me for more days than can even be counted. Now let me tell you, ladies, you'll go back home if you forget your jewelry. We'll go back home if we get our cell phone. Are you kidding me? We can't go anywhere without our cell phone. We'll go back home for our cell phone. Has anyone ever forgotten to pray and got in the car and say, I've got to go back home. I forgot to pray. I've got to go pray before I start the day. Psalm 106, verse 7 says, Lord, our ancestors learned nothing from the miracles that you did in Egypt. They soon forgot your kindness at the Red Sea and rebelled against you. See, here's what happens. Forgetting God leads first to unbelief, and then it leads to rebellion. You can see that even in our nation. When we start forgetting God, then we start to not believe, and then we start to rebel against God. And I don't understand why, you know, if someone doesn't want to believe in God, you know, that's their choice. But why is it that some people think it's their mission to try and keep everybody else in the world from believing in God? Let me tell you, if you're going to keep God first, number two, here's point number two, our second first, you got to love God first. Keep God first and love God first. Keep God first and love God first. Jesus said in Luke, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, he said, I have this against you. You have left your first love. And the Living Bible says, you don't love me like you did at first. You don't love me like you did at first. Jesus said in Matthew 22, 37, they asked him, what's the greatest commandment? He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first, say first. This is the first and the greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your might. That's the first and the greatest commandment. What's the second commandment? And you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do you know, if you live by those two principles, you'll be doing great. If you love God with all your heart, all your strength, all your soul, you love him first, and you love people like you love yourself, you'll fulfill all the law of God. You know that? Jesus said in Matthew 10, 37, whoever loves father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not fit to be my disciple. I've seen people stop coming to church because their spouse didn't want them to come to church. That's loving that. That means you love your spouse more than you love Jesus. Now, I can tell you I love my wife with all my heart, and I have since she was 16 years old. But if she ever tells me, Steve, that's it, I'm not serving God again, I'm not coming to church, you better not go, it's going to be bye-bye, honey, I'll see you later. Because nobody comes before Jesus. Nobody comes before the Lord. Jesus said, if you love your father, your mother, your wife, your sister, your brother more than me, you're not fit to be my disciple. I've seen people change their biblical beliefs because they want to please a loved one. Some Christians today accept homosexuality because one of their family members are gay. So now, well, it must be okay because, you know, my nephew's gay. I love your nephew. You should love your nephew. But I'm not going to change the word of God to please anybody. I'm not putting anybody above God. I've seen it happen many times. You know, someone in your family comes out. And you don't want to hurt their feelings. Listen, you should love them no matter what, but we shouldn't put anyone or anything before God. Love him first, keep him first. Can you say amen? Number three, here's another first. Put God's word first in your life. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your heart, and with all your entire being, and with all your might. And then it says, and these words, which I am commanding you today, shall be first in your minds and your heart. The Bible says that the word of God should be first in our mind, first in our heart, first in our life. God's word shall be first in your mind. Amen. Let me tell you, that's what changed my life. What really changed my life was when I realized, when I was about 17 years old, I realized that the Word of God, the Bible, that was God talking to me. When I read the Word of God, it's God talking to me. Every promise in the Word of God is for me. Every command in the Word of God is for me. I read that Bible like Jesus stood in the room and spoke it right to me. And I decided when I was 17 that I was going to make God's Word the absolute authority in my life. If God's word said it, that settles it. Doesn't matter if I understand it even. I believe the word of God, that's the end of it. It's the final authority. If God says it, I'm going to do it. If God says don't do it, I'm not going to do it. God's word is absolute authority. Now, Jesus said in Luke 6:46, he said, Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? See, some people say Jesus is their Lord, but they don't do what he says. And if God is first in your life, then his word is first in your life. That means you believe and you do what the word of God says. Amen. I encourage you to make God's word the final authority in your life. Because obeying God's word is obeying God. If God's word is not first, then God is not first in your life. If you say positive, yes, the Lord is first in my life, then that means God's word will be first. You will live by it. You will do by it. It says, whenever you have a question, we have a problem, what does the Bible say? That's your, God's word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. That's the first authority in my life. Do you receive this morning? Number four, here's another first. Seek God first. In 1 Chronicles 22, verse 19, it says, now set your heart and mind to seek, to inquire, to require as your vital necessity, the Lord your God. The Bible says we should seek after God as our vital necessity. The Message Bible says your part is to give yourself heart and soul to praying to your God. You see, seeking God involves praying. You really can't seek God if you never pray. You really can't seek God if you never worship. You really can't seek God if you never read His Word. The way that you seek after God is by praying and by worshiping and reading the Word of God and fasting. That's how you seek after God. David said in Psalm 63, in verse 1, he said, oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. Early will I seek you, Lord. David also wrote, he wrote Psalm 34, verse 10. David wrote Psalm 34, verse 10. It says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Let me tell you one thing. When you seek God, He says you won't lack any good thing if you will put God first, if you will love God first, if you will make His word first, and you seek after Him first, you won't lack any good thing. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25 says, the Lord is wonderfully good to those who seek for Him. Seek Him and you will find Him. The Lord is good to those who seek Him. Now, the word seek is a very strong word because it means to crave. It means to pursue. It means to go after with everything you've got. Have you ever seeked after a hot fudge sundae? Have you ever craved a hot fudge? Ladies, have you ever seeked out a pair of shoes? Have you ever had a pair of shoes you were seeking after? I mean, you were on a mission to find those shoes. Seek them out. I'm a bit like a woman a little bit when it comes to shoes, aren't I? I have to admit that. I mean, if I find a pair of shoes I want, I'm going to seek them out because I never pay retail. I refuse. I'm not wearing one thing that I paid retail for. I buy everything on sale. So I'm looking for a deal, and I'll seek them out, man. Who's even better than me is my son-in-law Brian. He can seek out a deal. Well, let me tell you, can we seek God like we seek other things? Can we get excited as about God as we do about the Super Bowl today? Someone said, well, I'm not going to go to church. Yeah, they send church. They act crazy, man. I'm not going to act like an emotional nut. I'm not going to do that. I wish I had a video of you watching the Super Bowl today. I wish I could video you because you get so excited when your team scores. Do you get excited about the Lord? Do you get excited about Jesus? Are you seeking after Him and seeking His will? Do you think about God's goodness? Do you take time to thank God for His blessings? Can you say without hesitation, God is first in my life, Pastor Steve? You know, it's so silly to say we don't have time for God. We don't have time to go to church. If we don't have time for Him, then He's not first in our life. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 10, the Lord gave this commandment. He said, on the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons, your daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, any foreigners living among you. Nothing happens on the Sabbath day. Now, when you go to Israel, we went to Israel in May. And let me tell you, we're going to go back one of these days and you've got to come with us. You've got to go to Israel at least one time before Jesus comes back. And one thing we noticed about Israel is that we had to check in this hotel. It was on a Saturday, which is the Sabbath day. And everything shuts down. I mean, everything shuts down on the Sabbath day. You can't even check into a hotel till the sun goes down because you can't even push the elevator button on the Sabbath day. I mean, they've taken it to that extreme. But let me tell you right now, what about us today living under the new covenant today? Well, Matthew 28, verse 1, it says, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week. Now, if the Sabbath is the seventh day, then what day is the first day? Sunday is the first day of the week. It says, after the Sabbath on the first of the week, which was Sunday, as it began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. They went looking for Jesus. And the Bible says early Sunday morning. Now, how many know Jesus wasn't there? He had risen. Isn't that right? Jesus rose on Sunday, the first day of the week. From then on, in the New Testament, the church would meet on Sunday. And I believe the reason is because that's the day Jesus rose from the dead. And the Bible says in Acts 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week, we gathered with the local believers to share in the Lord's Supper. Paul was preaching to them, and since he was leaving the next day, he kept talking until midnight. Please don't anybody ever complain that I preach a long time. I don't want to ever hear one single word about Pastor Steve, you preach long. I didn't go to midnight yet. I haven't gone to midnight yet. The Message Bible says we met on Sunday to worship and celebrate the Master's Supper. They met, the early church met on Sunday. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Now, family, Chick-fil-A closes down on Sunday to honor God. I believe that is part of the reason. I believe it's part of the reason that God has so blessed the Chick-fil-A business. I believe what's happened with Chick-fil-A is like supernatural, and I believe that part of it is because they honor God and they close down on Sunday. Can you imagine all the experts that told them that wasn't a good idea? You cannot do this. Do you know how much money you're going to lose by closing down on a Sunday? It's a big day, isn't it? Let me go. You go over to, you know, go over the mall right now. You're going to see a lot of cars there right now. You can't do it, but they made a choice. I'm going to tell you right now, I really believe that as New Testament believers, Sunday should be a day for the Lord and that nothing should interfere with us coming to church. And if you tell me, Pastor Steve, I've got to work, well, we should trust God to bring you another job where you don't have to work on a Sunday. Brian and Julie over there, wave at me. They have a bicycle store in Stuart. They close down on Sundays. You close it on Sunday. God bless you. I believe that's why you're so busy. They told me we're so busy we can't keep up, and they close on Sundays. God bless you for doing that. God wants to be, let me tell you, how many of you believe that God wants you to be in church every Sunday? Let's try that again. I don't think you heard me. Evidently not. How many people believe that we should be in church every Sunday? I believe we should be in church every Sunday, right? If God is first, then we're going to be in church every Sunday. Number five, here's another first. Seek God's will first. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. It says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Seek his will in all you do. I want to challenge you today. I want to encourage you to really crave the will of God in your life. You know, Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. What did he say? He said, Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not my will. Nevertheless, not my will, Lord, your will be done. That's an awesome prayer to pray. It appears that Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. It appears Jesus didn't want to go through the death of the cross. He said, Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will. Lord, I want your will. Your will be done. You see, I remember when I was 17 years old, I remember praying that prayer. Lord, Father, I want your will. Not my will be done. I want your will to be done. I will go where you tell me to go. We ended up going to Cape Town. Then we ended up coming here. Because I said when I was 17, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I really encourage you, family. For you, you may pray, Lord, your will be done. I really want that promotion at work. I've worked hard for it. Nevertheless, Lord, I'll be happy without it. I'll be happy with whoever you give it to. Not my will, but let your will be done. Amen? Seek God's will in all you do. Number six, seek God's kingdom first. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first. Say, seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, if you read the verses before, Jesus said, why do you worry about what you're going to wear? Why do you worry about what you're going to eat? Why do you worry about what you're going to drink? He said, you know, people out there are seeking these things, but if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. In other words, when you put God's kingdom first, everything else you need, the Bible says, it's going to be given to you. If you'll put God's kingdom, God's church first, he promises everything you ever need will be supplied. And if God's kingdom and God's church is first in your life, then you will be committed and involved and helping to build God's church. Because Jesus is passionate about his house. Jesus is passionate about the house of God. Did you know that? The Bible says in John 2:17, Jesus took a whip and there were money changers changing money in the temple, and he drove them out of the temple, and his disciples remembered the prophecy from the scriptures that said, passion for God's house will consume me. Jesus was consumed with a passion for the house of God, and we too should be passionate about the kingdom of God and passionate about the house of God and passionate about building the church of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Jesus is passionate about his church. Let me tell you, Jesus is so passionate about his church, it's the only thing he's building. In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gate or the powers of hell will not conquer it. I will build my church. Jesus is building his church. This is Jesus' church. I work for him. He called me. This is his church. He's building a sin church. He's passionate about it, and I'm passionate about seeking first the kingdom of God. How about you? If I must seek first the kingdom of God, then I must be passionate about Jesus' church. That means if I'm passionate about Jesus' church, guess what? I'm going to be inviting and bringing people to church with me every Sunday because I'm passionate about seeking first the kingdom of God. Amen, somebody. If I'm passionate about God's house, I'm going to support it with my finances, and I'm going to serve in the house of God if I'm passionate about God's house, if I'm putting God's house first. Thank you. In Mark chapter 10, verse 42, Jesus called them together. He said, you know that the rulers in this world, they're lorded over their people, and the officials flaunt their authority over those that are underneath them. He said, among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be your leader must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everybody else. That's how it works in the kingdom of God. If you want to be a leader, you've got to be a servant. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve and to give. Jesus came to serve and to give. Jesus came to serve and to give. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, think of yourselves the way that Christ Jesus thought of himself. Think of yourself the way he thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but he didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. No, not at all. It says when the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and he took on the status of a slave. Just in case you think you're thinking you kind of someone special and you like, you know, I'm like, you know who I am? Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth, God in human flesh, chose to become a servant. And the Bible says we should think of ourselves the same way. Here's my question. Are you serving others? Are you serving in God's house? If not, get started. Get with the program. If you're not serving in God's house, start serving. If leaders, let me tell you, if serving is beneath you, leadership is beyond you. God, Jesus said, if you're faithful in that which is least, God will promote you to greater things. Number 7, live to please the Lord first. Live to please the Lord first. In Colossians 1, verse 10, it says that you may live and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him and desiring to please him in all things. We should desire to please God in all things, being fruitful in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9 says our goal is to please him. Say, my goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. We are all going to stand before the Lord. We are all going to give an account. Let me just teach you. You and I are going to stand before God one day, and we're going to give an account. And we should be living our life with a goal of pleasing Him. Because one day He's going to reward us for the things we did for Him while we were on the earth. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God. God's will is for you to be holy, so stay away from sexual sin. I encourage you to make decisions that are pleasing to God. Don't live to please yourself. Don't even live to please other people. Some of us, we've allowed ourselves to be manipulated and controlled by the whims and desires of other people. You've gotten yourself in a real mess because now you're having to do a whole bunch of things that you don't even feel like God's will for you to do. So what do you do now? Let me tell you, you will not be able to walk in the will of God unless you are willing occasionally to make somebody mad. I said you will not be able to walk in the will of God unless you're willing occasionally to make somebody mad. Jesus made a lot of people mad. Nothing that he did wrong, but he just followed God's will. And sometimes when you do what God wants, not everybody likes it. You know, we make a lot of decisions because we don't want people to be mad at us. But if they're going to get mad at you because you don't do what they want you to do, they probably don't care about you that much. If you don't learn to say no, you're never going to walk in the will of God. You've got to break free from manipulation and control. Galatians 1 verse 10, Paul said, obviously I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God, because if pleasing people were my goal, I wouldn't be Christ's servant. If I was trying to please people, let me tell you, don't be a pastor. If you want to try and please, you're not going to please everybody. The Passion Bible says, I'm obviously not trying to flatter you or water down my message to be popular with men. My supreme passion is to please God. For if all that I attempt to do is please people, I would not be a true servant of the Messiah. Let me tell you right now, I love, you know, I want you to be pleased with me, but what's most important to me is I must please God. That is the most important. I don't know if you noticed this, I don't water down my sermons much. I don't water down the sermons. And not everybody likes it. Somebody would say, Pastor Steve, you should just water it down, maybe just a little bit. I can't do it. I have to stand before God, and I have to give an account to Him. And I'm not going to ever have Him say, Steve, why didn't you tell the church this? I told you to. You didn't. I'm going to give an account to Him and nobody else. And so are you. My number one desire is to please Him. And let me tell you, because I love you, that's why I preach the truth to you. I love you enough to preach the truth in love. Amen. We must be led, we must be guided, and we must be controlled by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, not by what somebody else thinks or says. And number eight, here's number eight, there's another first. Make the first move. Make the first move. Do you know how many places in the Bible it says, if you do this first, then God will do that? You act, and then God acts. For example, James 4, verse 8, it says, draw near to God, and then He will draw near to you. In other words, you've got to take the first step. You want to get near? Can I tell you, you are as close to God as you want to be. You are as close to God as you want to be. Because the closer you draw near to Him, the more He'll draw near to you. Do you know that we must first forgive, and then we'll be forgiven? Jesus said in Mark 11, 25, when you are praying, first forgive anyone that you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Do you know that before God can forgive me, I've got to be willing to forgive other people? Wasn't too many clapping about that one. Didn't get too excited about that one. You would be shocked at how many people in this room are mad at somebody right now. And you think you're justified in your anger. Listen, we may get angry. It's not a sin to get angry. But staying angry and acting on that is a sin. This issue, I think, is doing more damage to the church and to the power that we should have as a church than any other single thing. Because there's so many Christians holding on to unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment. And the Bible says you are to pray for your enemies and you are to bless your enemies. It doesn't say you have to like them. It doesn't say you have to have ooey-gooey feelings around them. Love is not how you feel. Love is a decision that you make. about how you're going to treat people and how you're going to talk about people. It's a choice that you make. Being mad at someone won't change them. In fact, it changes you. It ruins your life. It poisons your life. Well, Pastor Steve, I'm not going to let him get away with it. God says if you'll do things his way, he'll be your vindicator. So do you want your brand of justice, or I'd much rather have God's brand. I'd much rather have God be my vindicator. He's much better at it than what I am. In Mark 11, 25, Jesus said, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, let it drop, leave it, let it go, in order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings, and let them drop and let them go. Anything against anyone, little things, big things, things you think you're justified in, forgive them. Let it go. Pray for the person. Put them in God's hand. Walk away from the hatred. Walk away from the bitterness. Walk away from the resentment and get about living your life and putting God first in your life and loving God first in your life and pleasing God first in your life and seeking God first in your life. Amen, somebody? Let me tell you. There are millions of people who pray the Lord's Prayer and they don't even understand what they're praying. They pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against them. Do you really want God to forgive you the same way that you forgive other people? Do you know the Bible says be merciful first and then you will receive mercy? I've got to be merciful and then I will receive mercy. Matthew 5 verse 7, Jesus said, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Do you want people to be merciful to you? Do you want God to be merciful to you? Be merciful to other people. Amen? If you want God to show you mercy, you've got to show mercy first. See, because we love God, we show mercy to people. Mercy always goes to people who don't deserve it. That's what mercy is. Because if you deserve it, it's not mercy anymore. If you're waiting to find someone who deserves mercy, you got the wrong idea about mercy. Mercy is given to someone who has not done what is right, and you decide just to cut them a break, and you're just going to be merciful toward them. Maybe you decide just to believe the best or just drop it and let it go. Often we say we forgive someone, but then we keep on reminding them that we did. We don't want them to think they got by with it. Often we have this attitude. You know, if I'm going to be merciful, you're going to know that I'm being merciful, and you're going to appreciate, you better appreciate my mercy. Here's another first the Bible tells us, another first. First, remove the plank from your own eye so you can take the splinter out of your brother's eye. In other words, don't ignore your own faults while pointing out the faults of others. In Matthew 7 verse 5, Jesus said, hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus said to the religious leaders of his day, they caught a woman in the act of adultery. He said to them, let him that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. The Bible says, first humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and then God will help you and lift you up. 1 Peter 5 verse 6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in the right time, he will lift you up in honor. The Bible says, pray first, and then you will receive. Matthew 7, 7, ask, and it will be given to you. James 4 verse 3, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God from it. You've got to ask first and then you will receive. You've got to pray first before you make plans. Don't plan first and then when you're out in the middle of doing what you want to do, then you pray, God, please make this work together. No, Proverbs 3 verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So first pray about everything, acknowledge God in all your ways, and then he will direct your path. Are you getting this morning? The Bible says you've got to believe first and then you will receive. Matthew 8, verse 13, Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 24, therefore I say unto you, whatever things you desire, or whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. I've got to believe first, and then I'll receive. Do you know the Bible says I've got to give first, and then I will receive? Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give generously and generous gifts will be given back to you, shaken down to make room for more. It says abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such overflowing measure that it will run over the top. Your measure of generosity becomes the measurement of your return. Remember the little boy who gave his little lunch to Jesus And Jesus fed the 5,000, and the little boy went home with 12 baskets of leftovers. Well, he first gave his lunch, and then he got the 12 baskets of leftovers. Remember the widow who gave her last meal to Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17? She gave the last of her meal, and God supernaturally multiplied the oil and the flour so that it lasted 3.5 years until the drought was ended. She had to first give, and then she received. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. You honor God and you tithe first, and then God opens the windows of heaven. You see, if God is not first in your finances, then God is not first in your life. Obey first and then experience radical, outrageous blessings in your life. Isaiah 1 verse 19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Say, God wants me to eat the good of the land. And when I'm willing and obedient, say, when I obey first, I eat the good of the land. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 says, it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. If you want the blessings chasing you down, you got to first obey God. Well, Lord, if you'll send blessings chasing after me, then I'll obey you. Lord, if you'll bless me, then I'll give. Lord, if you'll answer, then I'll pray. Lord, if you'll give me this, then I'll believe. No, you got to do the first part. Proverbs 13 verse 13 says, despise God's word and find yourself in trouble, obey it, and succeed. I believe and declare that as you keep God first in your life, God is directing your path. God is opening the windows of heaven above you. I declare that God is rebuking the devourer and protecting you. I declare that blessings are chasing after you. I declare that you will overcome every obstacle that you face, and you will defeat every enemy, and you will become everything that God destined and created you to be. In the name of Jesus, I declare, as you do the first things, all these things will be added unto you. As you seek the Lord first, you will not lack for any good thing. As you seek God, God will guide you, God will favor you, God will direct you. Do the first things, family. Let's get our priorities in the right area and do these first things that are important to God, that matter to God, that please God. Because when you do the first things, I'm telling you right now, every other area of your life falls into line and comes into place when you get the first things right. Can you say amen? Come on, give God some thanks and give God some praise. If you receive it today, do you receive it today? Did you receive it today? Now, this was maybe a little challenging today? Not challenging today? I thought maybe it might be a little bit challenging to you today. But listen, man, I can tell you this. Jesus said to Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. I honestly want you to know I love you so much. When you come to church, I want to feed you with the word of God. I want to give you a good meal. To me, there's nothing worse than leaving a restaurant hungry. I've left some restaurants hungry. I've gone to eat and left hungry. I hate going to a restaurant and walking out hungry. I'm feeding you with the word of God. And sometimes it's maybe a little challenging. You know, I find whenever I read the Bible, it challenges me. If you never get challenged reading the Bible, I don't know what Bible you're reading. Because it challenges me every time I read it, the word of God, to come up a little bit higher, to move up a little bit further. You know what I'm trying to say to you? Well, family, this was so strong in my heart. We must make sure we got the first things right. Won't you bow your head? I want to pray for you. Lord, I thank you for every person. Thank you, Rick. I thank you for every person that is here this morning, Lord. I thank you for their heart to receive your word today. And I thank you, Lord, that that you are first in every person's life. I thank you, Lord, that we're keeping you first, that we love you first, that we seek you first, that we seek your will first, that we seek to please you first, that we seek your kingdom first, Lord, that we obey you. Lord, thank you that as we keep you first in our life, oh, you said that all these other things, the rest of the world's chasing after, you said they'd be added to us. You take care of us. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for sending Jesus today. We thank you for sending Jesus to the earth. While you have your head bowed and while we have our eyes closed, I just Before we close the service this morning, I want to pray. I want to pray really a life-changing prayer, a prayer that I prayed when I was 16 years old, and my life changed forever. And let me tell you, you're not here by an accident today. I believe you're here by God's divine hand. I want to pray for you. If you say, Pastor Steve, I'm not sure where I stand with the Lord today. I'm not sure if all is right, if all is well with me and God today. I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say that you know without any doubt that if you died today, you know you'd go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I'm asking you is, can you say that you know for sure that if you died today, that you would go to heaven? You've got no doubt about it. Or because let me tell you, the good news is you can walk out of here today and you can know that all is well and all is right between you and God, that every mistake and every sin you ever committed, that it's forgiven and it's washed away. And you can leave here today knowing that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven's a real place. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up, but right where you're sitting with our head bowed and our eyes closed, this is between you and God today. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer. I want to make sure all is right with me and God. Pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, I want to ask you right now quickly just to lift your hand up high. If you say, Pastor Steve, include me in that prayer you're going to pray, just lift your hand up right now. I'm looking for hands. Just raise it up high. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. God bless you. I see hands being raised. Just lift it up high. It's never be easier than it is right now. I want everyone who raised your hand up, please say this prayer with me. Church, can we all say this prayer together with them? Everybody, say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus, your Son, to come to this earth for me, to take my sin and to take my punishment, to die in my place. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess that he is Lord, you said that I would be saved. Say it, everybody. Say, I do this today. I believe with all my heart, Jesus, you are alive and that you've been raised from the dead. And I ask you to come into my life, Lord. Forgive me of my sin. Lord, save me today. I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you. Say this. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I am now born again. I am your child. God, you are my very own father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody said amen and amen. Come on, give God thanks and praise. The Bible says all of heaven rejoices when one person comes unto Jesus. Lord, we thank you and praise you. And I thank you, Father, that every one of us today, that we have a passion, we have a burden for lost people. And we go out of here this week and we invite people, we tell people the good news, we invite people to come to church. We don't go to heaven on our own, Lord. We're taking as many people as we can. We're impacting and making a difference with our life. And I thank you for filling us with a boldness and with a burden for lost people in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Tell your neighbor, I'm bringing people to church every Sunday, man.
That's some good preaching right there. James is waving at me. James, our head usher, he says, please don't pick up the offering buckets and pass them down the aisle until he gives the go-ahead. Thanks, James. Praise God. That was good preaching right there. I'm challenged. I'm challenged in some areas of my life. Amen. This is a time in the service when we get to give, we get to honor God. And I love that scripture. I love all of those that you mentioned, but the one from Deuteronomy that says the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first. How simple is that? How simple is that? We don't have to get complicated. That's what it's about. And so if you prepare yourself to give this morning, as you do, what we are doing is we are saying, Lord, I honor you. I honor you first. And then we are saying, Lord, I trust you. I trust you as my provider. The Bible calls him Jehovah Jireh. But do we trust him to provide for us, right? And so when we give, that's what we're doing. You know, you think about in the Old Testament, God said to them, give the first sheep of your flock. You know, it takes faith to give the first, right? Because, you know, so one lamb was born. I don't know if there's going to be a second lamb, a third lamb, a fourth lamb. It's easier if God says, get 10 lambs and give me the 10th one. But he says, give me the first one. That always involves faith. So this involves faith, what we're doing today. It involves faith, and it is a declaration that I trust you, Lord. So let's just hold that in your hand right now. Thank you. We don't take it lightly. We're so grateful for the faithful tithers and givers in this church. We know that God, just like God called us to pastor this church, he's called many of you to come in alongside us and together. I mean, look what we've done in a year. Look at what God has done in a year. Isn't this phenomenal? It's phenomenal. And it's just the beginning. And so thank you for your support and your giving. And I'm going to pray right now. Father, we recognize you as first in our life. And right now in this area, we declare you're first of our finances. We refuse to make an idol out of money. We refuse to do it. And Father, we trust you. You said you are El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. You are Jehovah Jireh. That means you provide. And we just say right now with absolute peace in our heart that as we tithe and as we give, we trust you. We trust you. We thank you for your blessings, for doors open, for opportunities, for promotions, for increase, for surprises, for inheritances, for blessings, for scholarships, the ways you do it, Lord. We don't even tell you how. We just stand by in wonder and see you provide. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You want to, my dear, ushers, won't you pass that down, please?
Well, I just want to say we're excited for next Sunday because we have Prophet Ed Trout's going to be with us next Sunday. And if you have not ever experienced the ministry of Prophet Ed Trout, don't miss next Sunday. He's got the most amazing ministry. We've known him for so many years, probably 25 years or more. Yeah. I've never seen anybody that just prophesies with such accuracy and detail. He's going to prophesy over individuals, and God shows him things that only God could show him. And I'm telling you right now, it just blesses me to see how the Lord uses Ed Trout. And he's going to be here next Sunday. Sunday morning, and then we're doing a special 6 p.m. service. Now, the 6 p.m. service, I just want to let you know, we're only going to sing two songs, and it'll be up on the platform like at 6:10. So you want to be here on time. We're going to start early. We're doing the 6 p.m. service so that he has more opportunity for you to receive a word from the Lord. So next Sunday, make it a double feature Sunday next Sunday, Sunday morning and Sunday night, because Ed's coming all the way from Texas, and you know, it's such a long way to come for just one service. And so we decided to have a second service.
I just want to say something, because sometimes people get a little nervous when it comes to prophecy. But listen, I know some of you like your fortune tellers. You like your horoscopes. You're looking to the wrong source, okay? So this is a specific ministry. Okay, I'm not looking anyway. The specific ministry, the Bible says he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the benefit of the church. So the prophetic ministry is to benefit the church, equip the church.
Yes.
And you know, I always made it a point that we seek God first. I look to hear from the Holy Spirit, and I'm not running after prophets looking for somebody to give me a word, tell me what God's thinking, because God can speak to me directly. But God will use people.
Sure.
And he has used prophets in our life. Every time Ed has come, God has spoken through him in some way or over our kids in a phenomenal way, and it's a blessing. Now, the other thing is, don't be frightened, because people are nervous. They're nervous that he's going to point at you and say, God knows
He
knows what you did last night. God will never embarrass you. You know, he sees more than he says, but he'll never say it in such a way that it would embarrass you or make you look bad.
Well, the reason is because prophecy, the scripture says, is for edification, exhortation, and comfort.
Right.
And so it's when Ed gives you a word, it's always going to be good. Even if he may know more than he says, but he would only share the good things, right?
In a way.
And then also the other thing is this. Sometimes people feel nervous to bring a new person. And you know what's amazing to me is that when people bring new people, very often Ed, I've seen it happen many times, he'll prophesy over this new person and they are amazed because there's no way anyone could have known that. And it's like Chris, they know it's God.
Chris
Didn't that happen to Chris Birch?
Chris Birch came here. I remember. And he was standing with the Linosas. They were
the
whole,
first Sunday
whole
he came.
Row of new people. And Ed had no idea. And he said, let that whole row stand up. And he prophesied all the way down. And I was like, I don't know what's right or
wrong.
We didn't even know who they were. And that was very impactful on your life. Right, Chris? I remember that.
Chris
anyway,
is still here. So don't be nervous to bring a new person next Sunday. Because you know what? It could just be that God speaks directly to them.
Amen.
Are you glad you came to church today? Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. You needed to hear this. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday. Invite someone to church. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next time, everybody. Thank you, music. Thank you.